and welcome to this special edition of Tales for the East. This is an edition of the podcast that looks at Gaelic in the east of Glasgow and also throughout Scotland and some of the questions. It's been created as part of the Good Project from Glasgow Life, which looks at Gaelic initiatives and cultural issues in Scotland. When we were recording Tales for the East, at the end of every session, I would ask the participants questions about Gaelic, what their awareness was of Gaelic in their community and area. I've chosen some of the most interesting answers to have a look at in this episode. We're going to hear from Robert McCauley, Barbara Orton, Mandy McIntosh, Lewa Thomas, Stuart Cosgrove, and then in response to some of the things that the participants have said, I spoke with Mari Morrison, a Gaelic singer, playwright and actor from the Isle of Lewis who lives in Glasgow and has lived in Glasgow for about 20 years, about the nature of Gaelic in Glasgow and what it means to her and some of the successes she's seen in Gaelic cultural initiatives throughout her time in the city. So without further ado, I'll hand you over to quite a provocative conversation to start off with Robert McCauley. One of the things we're looking at with this project as well is the nature of Gaelic in Glasgow. And are you conscious of Gaelic, or were you conscious of Gaelic in the community when you were younger?
Never. Didn't know anybody that spoke it, don't know anybody that wants to speak it. It was never a spoken language in the Lowlands in the first place.
It certainly was.
Well, French was the most common spoken language in the Lowlands of Scotland. In the 14th, 15th, and 16th century.
For a certain class of person it was.
Well, but you know, there's still lots of words in Glasgow. You wouldn't say flower, you'd say fleur. Right. There's lots of different words in Glaswegian dialect that are French. And I think a lot of people did come down and speak Gaelic, but they came from up north. I don't think it was ever the predominant language in Glasgow. I know when a lot of people come in from Ireland, that they used to go to Gorbals Cross on a Saturday night, and everybody spoke the Irish Gaelic. I don't think it's a bad language. I think it's probably a good language. But they shouldn't be trying to teach you when you're older. They should be and start from school.
Yeah.
You sometimes wonder if it's speaking minority languages in the majority of school is a good idea anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I don't know.
Bilingualism's great. I mean, my son goes to Gaelic medium school and it's fantastic because it really gets the brain going across two patterns. But
Absolutely. But they all get French and German at school here, you know, as well.
Yeah.
When they go to secondary school, they have a choice of languages. I don't think, career-wise, Gaelic's not going to get anywhere in their career.
It's done not bad for me.
Absolutely. But, I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Avery's isn't going to be speaking in Glasgow. In reality, you've got to be a realist. In Glasgow, they're not going to be speaking Gaelic. I watch Alba TV and I go, I wish I knew what he was saying, you know? Because I'm watching him maybe, and they're saying this is the next actor and he's a fiddle player or something. You're going, what they're saying, I wish I knew what he was really saying, you know? Right. And I don't think you would have to start in primary schools and teach the kids to be bilingual.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I don't think it'll happen.
There's quite a few folk who are coming to it later on in life as well, but it's a fascinating one. It's a really big question, that's why we're looking at it as well. That's the thing.
I know they're Gaelic schools. I've got clients who send their kids to Gaelic schools.
Aye.
One of my clients' kids had a Gaelic school 10 or 15 years ago. They went to the Gaelic school at the West End. Parents didn't speak Gaelic. I think their parents learned Gaelic because they sent the kids to school.
Yeah.
I just couldn't see the advantage of it. That was for me, you know. I'm just like, why are we doing this? And I know it's, you know, because I think Glaswegians don't actually think of themselves as part of Scotland, you know. They think that Glasgow's some other place. They'll go on holiday. Glaswegians will travel the world. You go anywhere, at any given time, into a bar in any city, New York or Los Angeles, you'll bump into a Glaswegian. They'll holiday all over the world, and you say, been to Dundee? No, I've never been to Dundee. You ever been to Inverness? No, I've never been to Inverness. Yeah. They're all over the world.
Yes.
They don't know their own country. So I think where that Gaelic thing comes in, you know.
Yeah.
The Glaswegians actually don't think Glasgow Scotland. Think, Edinburgh is the Scottish capital. We're not really involved in that, you know. We're actually Glaswegians, you know. I think there is that wee home, that wee community thing there, you know. they don't really know anything about outside of Glasgow. And every other county in Scotland, they say you can. They don't say it in Glasgow. No, they think you're a chieftain if you say it.
Not in Argyll and Bute either. We don't say it. Yeah, it's more further east. Yeah, aye. Yeah.
Aye, well, been in Ayrshire.
That's right.
Clackmannish. That's all I say, I can this and can that.
Aye.
You know, but the Glaswegians think you're a country bumpkin if you say things like that, you know. You know. He's a nice big guy. He's a nice guy, but he's from Dumfries, you know, and that thing, you know. I was once in Australia, and a Scottish girl said to me in Australia one time, "Is you off Glaswegian?" I said, "No, I can speak the Queen's English. I choose to speak the Glaswegian dialect because I'm in the company of Glaswegians here. If I wasn't in the company of Glaswegians, I would have to change my accent slightly so that people could make my words more pronounced and articulate myself. But I'm talking to," and she had been in Australia that long, she didn't be known as being a Glaswegian. A lot of people go abroad and they come back and they go, "People are still talking like that." And I'm quite like it. It's a wee bit like Gaelic. And you see, it'd be nice to be in Australia and I would be talking to my brother or one of my mates, and you can see people going, "What the hell are they talking about?" You know? And people just talking Glaswegian dialect, you know?
Having that discussion with Robert was absolutely fascinating and challenged me quite a lot. Let's now hear from Barbara Orton. Well, my last question for you then, if it's okay to ask, is Gaelic. Are you aware of Gaelic in the community at all? Are you aware of Gaelic in the area, in Sighthill, Haghill, or indeed Denniston itself? Are you aware of Gaelic speakers or Gaelic history in the area at all?
No, I'm not actually, Alistair, because I just, you know, in Denniston, there's lots of different communities. I know there's an Irish community here, right? Yeah. There's lots of different communities. There's a Somali community.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people seeking asylum. You know, when they came from the Sighthill flats, they came down to flats in Denniston as well. And they all knew each other. And there's a strong Masonic presence in Denniston as well, you know, in the Bowling Green and in a little Masonic hut. In down a little alley off White Hill Street. So I'm very well, very aware, as you've lived here for many, many years, you become aware of the little pockets of communities, and they don't all interlink. They don't all intersect, you know, they can exist separately, but the people in them, you know, still go to all the shops and everything. But so, you know, if there was a person from the Gaelic community in Denniston, they'd be speaking English in the shop to the asylum seeker shopkeeper. You know, from Persia, old Persia. So I'm not aware of that, but I do feel, I do know that Gaelic is more present in our lives in Scotland. And I can say that mainly through Celtic connections. You know, there's all the fans that Celtic connections have around the place. And they, you know, they have Celtic things on at Drygate. You know, that's one of the venues of Celtic connections, which is fantastic. Yeah. That's a fantastic addition to Glasgow, so Denniston's cultural life. There's a presence around, and also when Celtic Connections went online, you know, we all have Gaelic in our living rooms. So I think they've done a lot. Celtic Connections has done a lot to increase awareness and normalise the Gaelic language in our communities.
Thank you, Barbara. And now, Mandy McIntosh's take on Gaelic culture in Glasgow and in her family.
Because, yeah, you're right. Our language is organic.
Yeah, it's an expression of community.
And it always has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking of such things, were you conscious of Gaelic in your communities growing up at all?
No, I was not conscious of Scottish Gaelic, but I was conscious of Irish because of my mum's family. So my granny McNally was a fluent Irish speaker. She only ever spoke Irish when my Uncle Brendan or my Aunt Sheila or whatever came up, and they would chat with in Irish, but they would only talk in Irish when they were giving each other a row. And what I remember about that was like, you know, you'd hear blah blah blah, tenants lager, blah blah blah. Do you know what I mean? There would be like certain words. Yeah. I'm saying blah blah blah, and I don't mean that disrespectfully.
No, no, no,
I couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
But Scottish Gaelic, not at all. Not at all. And at the time when I was growing up in Glasgow, there was no signposting, there was no translation, there was no...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you when I did experience Gaelic though. My sister went up to work with Scabrous to Tell in Skye, and she came back with all these words like boorach, for example. She's like, this room's I checked the state of this place, it's a boorach. And I'm like, what's that? She's going, it's Gaelic for a pigsty or a Gaelic for a mess. Yeah. So it was because she was working in kitchens with Gaelic speakers and learning Gaelic that way. So that's funny that she would pick that up. She'd pick up like a single Gaelic word and then use that.
And back it, yeah, bring it back.
Yeah, yeah. We went up, we had the run of the place one New Year. The whole place was shut. And we were in the staff quarters because she'd gone up to stay with pals. It was an amazing place.
Thank you, Mandy. Lewa Thomas is a very interesting person who runs a bakery called Akara on Duke Street. And her take on Gaelic culture was quite fascinating, quite provocative. And I did go on and give her examples of different types of Gaelic culture afterwards, but I've cut it short from that, just so we can hear kind of her core response to the question of what do you know of Gaelic culture? Over to Lewa. One last question, if that's okay. This is a kind of a side thing that we do with this project, is looking at the nature of Gaelic culture in the East End of Scotland, in East End of Glasgow. I was wondering, have you had any encounters with Gaelic culture in your time in Glasgow at all?
I was actually going to be like, what's Gaelic culture? I know the name Siobhan is spelt like Sioban. Mm-hmm. And there's like, I know the spellings are interesting. And, actually when I was in high school, some people went to Hillhead Primary and said that they were taught Gaelic, some Gaelic in primary school.
Yes.
Whereas I didn't get that in Notre Dame. No, we were doing French in primary school, which is weird. Do people do French in primary school?
Yeah, little bits, yeah.
Yeah, so we did quite a bit. Mr. Pettigrew, that's what it was called. Yeah, he was my French teacher. He was swell. We did quite a bit of French. But no, Gaelic, I know Cymraeg and Hami Gleiva, but that's
brilliant, though. Nothing. That's superb to know that.
That's nothing at all. But so I actually don't know what Gaelic culture is. I didn't even know there was Gaelic culture. Sorry, Gaelic people.
That's really interesting, because that's one of the things, is to look at what Glasgow and Gaelic is. I mean, that's all Gaelic books there, and sort of
you
sort
read in Gaelic,
yeah, and write in Gaelic, and yeah,
no, so, yeah.
But I'm a French speaker as well. I work with the French language a lot as well. I studied mime in Paris, of all things. I knew. Gaelic culture. Oh man, you're in for an adventure with that. There's so much wonderful stuff to find out. Like I live on the island of Mull, so that's where I'm speaking to you. I'm not actually in Glasgow at the moment. So this is my house and where we live in Mull. My son speaks Gaelic with me, and and Rona, who one of the people that runs the project, she's a Gaelic development officer for Glasgow as well. And there's an aim to try and make Glasgow even more Gaelic as time goes by. So it's one to keep an eye on, certainly, no two ways about it. But it's some of the music you will just not believe. It's just a remarkable thing altogether.
So. Funny, I've probably heard more music than I have the language.
Oh yeah, almost certainly. Yeah.
What is Gaelic? I know you're interviewing me, but could you tell me like anything about something about Gaelic culture, just because I'm so clueless?
So every single letter in the Gaelic alphabet, I'll go and get the dictionary to show you this. Every single letter in the Gaelic alphabet has a tree that goes with it. So this is the cover of a dictionary called Dwelly's Dictionary. And Alistair Gray, the great Glasgow author, did the covers of this book here, and it's got all the kind of the trees in it. So each tree has a letter that goes with it. So you've got Elm for Elm, Bay for a Bay tree, Call for a hazel tree. My son is called Call because that's the name that's been in our family for a very, very long tree, a very long time. So you've got Dar for oak, and for yew tree, and Fjarn for an alder, all these different. So each one has its own letter. And that means that when you're speaking Gaelic, every word that you say is bound into the roots of the trees. So the language comes from the ground up through you and out again.
That's nuts.
Thanks, Lewa. One of the things we talked about was the potential of having a Gaelic coffee night in Akara Bakery, a fusion of two cultures, which could be absolutely fascinating. I was very lucky to speak to the broadcaster and producer and author, Stuart Cosgrove, who is one of my great cultural heroes for this podcast. and I asked him about Gaelic at the end of our conversation together. Here's what he had to say. Are you aware of Gaelic in the community in Denniston and the area at all?
Well, I'm aware of it in a number of different ways. First and foremost, of course, is schooling. The Gaelic school is one of the most popular schools in the whole of Glasgow, indeed in the whole of Scotland. But it's popular amongst parents in Denniston. And so the Gaelic school bus leaves every morning to take kids over to the school. And I'm aware of it in that respect, that the community is served by it. But let me tell you another little kind of story here, which kind of makes me feel kind of warm, and sorry for kind of going back into football here. But
no, perfect.
I was interviewing the former St Mirren, St Johnson, Motherwell and Morton striker John Sutton. John's the brother of Chris Sutton, the famous Celtic and player. And John and Chris recently lost their father, who died having had also Alzheimer's. So he comes from a footballing family. And of course, he moved as part of his career to Scotland, played football up here for 10 seasons or more. And as often is the case, he fell in love. He lives over in more in the Paisley area, in Bishopton, or one of those areas in Renfrewshire, rather than in Denniston. But when I was speaking to him, he was sitting at home one day and his wife had sent the two kids to the Gaelic school. So here's a man up from Norwich, plays football, and suddenly he's got two kids in his house who are studying at the Gaelic school. And of course, one of the requirements is that the parents start to learn the language as well to help their kids out. So he said, I'm speaking basic Gaelic in a very, very bad Norwich accent, he said. And it was very funny. And he said, and I'm sitting at home one night and my wife gets a letter from the school, a newsletter from the Gaelic school, saying that they were hoping to restart up a school's football team, but they were lacking someone that had kind of coaching skills and whatever. And she turned to John and said, you've got the coaching badge from the Scottish Football Association. You could coach the school team. So he got roped into coaching the Gaelic school football team, primary team. And I was laughing at that because, you know, a lot of people can look at Gaelic and say, well, you know, it's not well enough known, not enough people speak it. It's a nationalist shibboleth that people want to prop up for political reasons. You hear endless arguments against Gaelic, but you know what's really, really good about it? Is it gradually, in very kind of subtle ways, infuses and insinuates its way into people's lives, and you realise that what you're dealing with isn't a dead language or even a language that's on life support. You're talking about something that's revitalising itself in the community. And I'm currently working on a book just now, which is about the story of American soul music in as much as it interacts with the various presidents of the United States. So it's called Hey America, Black Music and the White House. Mm. And the chapter I'm currently working on is a chapter that follows Barack Obama against the backdrop of the mass shootings in a church in the Carolinas. It's called the Ain Church Massacre. And what's really brilliant about it is a young mixed race black parents and Celtic father has a kind of Celtic tradition. Mm. And the young singer who's made the song that best kind of crystallizes that moment is the singer Rhiannon Giddens. And Rhiannon Giddens is actually a Gaelic speaker who's a black woman who sings soul music out of the Carolinas. And I couldn't resist that. If I can't get a good 1,000 words out of that, I should be taken out to the streets of Denniston and shot, right?
That's a perfect rounding off point. Thank you so much. That's great. Did you know, reading Charles Fraser's book, I think it was the second one he wrote, something bitter, not Bitter Moon, that's Polanski, but the something Moon, 12 Moons or something like that. He talks about the postal service in America in the early days. They all had to speak Gaelic because the amount of Scots Gaelic letters that were coming, saying, you know, and Thai for names.
Right.
So it's been there right since the start of America, Gaelic. It's amazing.
It's incredible. You know, I'm watching, I don't know if you've kind of come across this yet, but there's a, it's Netflix, it's not, it's Amazon Prime Video. There's a series, it was on television, I think it was on ABC or something in the States, called The Americans. And it's a drama about a sleeper cell of KGB spies.
Oh, yes.
Who become a typical American family. You've seen that, right?
We've got the first series,
the daughter's name is Paige, right? And she's a young girl with kind of ginger hair. And her second name, first name's Alexis. She plays Paige, Paige Jennings in the drama. But her real name is something like Alexi Taylor. And I thought, I wonder who she is. And I clicked on it, and she's a Nova Scotian Scot who grew up in a Gaelic family. I think her mother's Irish and her father's Scottish. They've since moved, for her career, they've since moved to New Jersey. But she was born and schooled in Nova Scotia. So you're sitting watching a big American drama. I mean, it's a really famous American drama. And here's this young girl acting in it, probably at the time 10-year-old when they first cast her. And guess what? She's from a place where there's more Gaelic speakers than there are in Scotland. You know, remarkable.
And now, in response to all of those things we've heard before, here's Mari Morrison, a Glasgow-based Gaelic singer, playwright, actor, and her take on Gaelic culture in Glasgow and indeed Scotland at the moment. My question for you is this. It's a very broad and big question, but what role do you feel that Gaelic has in Glasgow, not particularly even the East End, but in Glasgow these days? What's the role of Gaelic in Glasgow?
That is a big question. I think it has a very big role now in comparison to what it used to. And I think it's much more positive, the response to Gaelic and the awareness of Gaelic, than it certainly used to. So I think Gaelic is very visible day to day. And it's almost maybe going to the extreme of the other end of the scale of that Gaelic seemed to be looked upon as a very backward language. There's no point to it. That now it feels like the seesaw has tipped, and it seems to be very much a desired language for people who are maybe middle class sometimes, which is hard to believe. In a way, I mean, I think my granny would be certainly turning in her grave if she heard such a thing.
One thing that I'd heard people saying was that they think that Gaelic almost offers a sub-private school approach for families. So families are keen to get kids into the Gaelic school because it's as close to a private education as you can get without having to pay for it. Is that a perspective you've encountered before as well?
That is a perspective I've encountered, and that's, I guess, what I was saying about this seesaw swinging, that it is middle-class people, and that is true. Unfortunately, I've encountered my own peers who have children who are not Gaelic speakers themselves, but who had thought of putting their children to Gaelic school and decided against it for the very reason that it is now becoming very much, a middle-class idea to put your child to a Gaelic school, and also that it's almost like a private education system as close to. And that I found really, in fact, I remember feeling that pit in my stomach when somebody said that to me, because I thought, that's not Gaelic at all. But I have to say, I am seeing elements of that as time's going on.
It's all steps towards more speakers and more fluency of the culture, but it's that's the kind of cachet of it. You want it to be a demotic culture, a culture of the people, but you don't want it to be an exclusive culture. And, you know, of course it's going to be exclusive in its own way because it's a language and culture of its own, which is distinct to that of Scottish identity with, you know, it's got intersections, a big Venn diagram of so many, ways it would cross over. So It's a really complex question that would be difficult to answer in a sort of 15-minute interview. But if I was to ask you then, what do you think the particular highlights of Gaelic culture you've seen in the last few years in Glasgow have been over the last 10, 15 years? How long have you been in Glasgow, by the way, yourself?
Oh, gosh. That's a very good question. I've been here... 20 years?
Wow.
Maybe more. Yeah. So what are the highlights that I've seen?
Yeah.
Gosh. Obviously, the education side of things, you know, having new Gaelic schools and one actually opening in the East End pretty soon as well. That is amazing. And I know that there's a big push for Glasgow to be like the centre for Gaelic, which in a way, which is great, but it also saddens me that a lot of, and it's not Gaelic, it's to do with, I guess, culture and movement in general, that what we used to have in the islands, I feel is being dispersed. It's no longer there. I'm pining for a place that doesn't exist anymore. And what I am seeing is that a lot of the community spirit and is being created in the cities, in pockets in the cities. So I find that really interesting. And also the fact that there's a real interest, not just in one community coming together, but that there's a number of communities coming together and all working together as one, and with no religion or language or colour or anything being at the head of that. And I find that really interesting. I've moved away from what the question was there, Alistair, sorry.
That is so superb to hear that essentially the psychology of Gaelic communities continues on despite geographic dislocation. Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. If I was to ask you then, well, yeah, like, so cultural highlights and is what I was thinking of, like, because I never saw Ian Baker Hanai, but I've always heard that was kind of one of the most genuine expressions of Gaelic culture on stage, because Gaelic theatre often, although, you know, we've both done things with it, it's not necessarily a happy match between the culture and the form. Sometimes there's a kind of, there's a declamatory thing that doesn't quite match with the theatrical style and the Gaelic style. And it's a really tricky and both a difficult thing to match together. And that's why someone, I think it was based, which color on Kana?
Is it Fiona.
Fiona.
Fiona, yeah.
She was behind that one, wasn't she? And apparently it was a good synthesis of lore, story, character, place, song, and culture together. It was, when I was working in North Uist, people saying it's the best thing they'd seen in Gaelic on stage. Are there any kind of cultural things like that, like film things or theatre things that you've been involved in or have seen that you have really left a positive affirmation in, for yourself?
Oh, there's been many things, I guess, and there's a wider interest now in having Gaelic as part of, however small, it's part of a project. To be brutal, sometimes it is a financial gain. However interested people are and however good their intentions are. But also that thing about seeing, like, I didn't see Fiona's show, I'm afraid. I just think it's great that there's a Gaelic theatre company that is getting regular funding from Creative Scotland, and that's amazing. It would be great to have more than one, and there's no reason why there couldn't be, but it's great to have that as a start, so that people are beginning to see professional productions. Not that there haven't been any in the past, of course there have been, but to know that there is a company there who is receiving money that you can go to creatively and ask for assistance or, you know, put your own productions forward is amazing. But it's a really difficult thing, Alistair, to, because there is that whole thing of, obviously there was 100 years of Gaelic drama, that book came out, which included one of my own plays in it. And, you know, somebody had asked me that question of, well, what is Gaelic drama? And that's a really difficult question to answer, because what Gaels can and will enjoy, or what you presume that they will enjoy, is there is always a certain kind of humour there, and a certain kind of drama that will appeal to people. But it's not always going to be the case. You can't please everybody at the same time with the same thing. So what is Gaelic drama? And to me, it's drama that's in Gaelic. It doesn't necessarily have to be a Gaelic topic, as long as it's drama that's in Gaelic. And listening to one of the folks, the woman that you interviewed there, when she was saying, I didn't know there was such a thing as Gaelic culture. And it's like, well, what is Gaelic culture? What is that bubble or box that you put Gaelic culture into? How do you define that? I guess as Gaels, for me, what Gaelic culture is, I know it's innate within me. It's my people, my land, my stories, my songs. It's much more than the language itself. Whereas people now who are coming to the language and learning it with no background or any family who speak it or any knowledge whatsoever, it's a very different view that they're going to have of the language and how they're going to be able to carry that language forward.
There's a doctoral thesis in there without a shadow of a doubt. That's amazing. Well, then I guess my final question is this. What are your hopes for Gaelic in Glasgow and beyond that in Scotland? What would your hopes for Gaelic be?
My hopes for Gaelic would be that it would just continue to be spoken, not just in Glasgow, but I really would like to see it being... Oh God, the word restored is not right. I would really love it to see more of it in the islands again. That's a terrible word to use, sorry, isn't it? Do you know what's really heartbreaking for me is that I know so, so many people who were brought up surrounded by Gaelic, had Gaelic within the household, but they never had the confidence to speak it themselves. And I know so many people in that situation. There's much that they could bring because they have that innate knowledge of the language. They have it within them, in their hearts and in their heads, and it's not just a language they're learning. I think there is a movement now to people who are in that position, you know, to give them confidence to start speaking it, which is great. It's a very difficult want because I'm in Glasgow. I'm not in the islands at the moment, so who am I to be making, you know, these desires? But I would just love that Gaelic would move forward and everything that it is, just a language itself.
So there you have it. That was a little investigation into the nature of Gaelic in the East End of Glasgow, as some of the participants of Tales for the East saw it. I can't claim that it's representative of everyone's point of view, but I just thought these were some really interesting perspectives to share and have a look at. As I said, this project is being created as part of GOOD, which is an initiative from Glasgow Life run by Rona MacDonald about trying out new Gaelic cultural ideas. Thank you so much for listening. See you again. Cheerio and drasta.